Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news.
The Vanderpump Rules Season 7 trailer came out this week and it was everything we ever wanted and more. Kim Richards from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills opened up on marriage boot camp that she was sexually abused throughout her childhood. Catherine Dennis from Southern Charm has filed to change her custody arrangement with her child's father, Thomas Ravenel, after he's been accused of battery and assault by their former nanny. We're also going to talk about how the cast for Below Deck Met has finally been revealed. I will be tackling this week's mess and more with my co-host, Amanda. Amanda was my first friend growing up, and after all these years, I'm proud to say we still both have great taste in television. After bumping into Amanda at the Watch What Crappens podcast taping, I knew I had to get her on the show to dish on all of our favorite Bravo celebrities. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi.
Just to get to know Amanda a little bit better, I'm going to ask you three questions so that listeners can get a better understanding on your thoughts regarding all things Bravo. So, what's your favorite show?
My favorite show would have to be Vanderpump Rules, obviously, because I wait year round for it to come back on.
Least favorite show?
Least favorite show. It would have to be a scripted series because I just think Bravo should stay away. So I would say it's A Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Agreed. And what is the housewife slash castmate that you think should come back to a series?
I think Heather Dubrow from the OC would definitely have to come back because she is stuck up and amazing and prissy, and I love everything about it, and I love her huge mega mansion.
Have you seen, like, the YouTube videos of her mansion?
Yes, I saw her closet, and it was insane. You cannot describe it any other way. It's insane.
I was looking at it, and, like, I don't know, there was something about the house itself. I found it, like, very cold. I'm like, there's... Well, she also didn't hire an interior designer. No. She thought she could do it. I'm like, you do know that's a job and a skill.
And I mean, it's like, how many square feet? Like, I feel like it would be hard for it to not feel cold. Like, seriously, they would have to do some serious stuff in there.
Yeah, they need, you know, God forbid, like, family photos hanging up. Yeah. Like, imagine that. Like,
no, it's a museum. That's it.
Oh, I'm actually definitely going to do a deep dive episode on that, so stay tuned. But first thing we have to obviously talk about this week is the Vanderpump Rules trailer that was released this week for season 7.
It was everything.
It was basically like a Christmas present coming early.
Or my birthday's in December, so this is it. This is my gift. I don't need anything else. I just need to watch this series.
So it starts with like Lisa Vanderpump making like a breathy speech about how they've all been going through ups and downs.
The challenges of life.
Yes, the challenges. That's it. I think we can kind of go with, like, castmate to kind of keep it organized.
Absolutely.
So, starting with the stars, Jax and Brittany, obviously they're celebrating their engagement. Mm-hmm. I'm engaged!
Like, wow, that accent was spot on.
I know. I've, like, been... I'm like, I've been watching a lot of Brittany videos.
Practicing.
Of her yelling. Her yelling specifically. Yes. I can do, like, anything else, no.
I'll have to practice and come back to you on that.
Thank you. So, obviously they're going through their engagement and, you know, Jax is going through his dad's death. They're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about their engagement. Like, we all knew it was coming, but do we really feel that Jax has changed? Like, is he suddenly, like, a faithful man that just, like, caters to Brittany and treats her well? I don't know.
Well, absolutely not. Yeah. And that's what's going to make season 7 so amazing.
Yes.
I think they definitely also allude to something happening, like, in a Vegas trip. Like, Brittany was, like, with all the girls and, like, the guys are all in Vegas FaceTiming them and, like, there are girls in the room. It's like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Obviously,
and, like, we could watch behind the scenes, too, because, like, I mean, I definitely follow every single one of them on all social media platforms. So
same.
I'm like, oh, that's going to be in the season. Oh my God, what is happening there? Like, need to know. And so, like, I'm just freaking out.
I think this year they were actually kind of better with not giving spoilers through social media because they're all, like, pretty active. But at this point, like, I really don't know what's, like, happening drama-wise other than, like, deaths and engagements.
Yeah. No, you just see, like, snippets of, like, events they're going to, but you don't know what is happening at that event.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, now I can't wait for this Snow Queen birthday between Ariana and Stassi.
Well, like, Stassi ends up crying at the end. I'm like, I didn't see that on your Instagram.
Yeah, that did not happen. What's happening here?
So they also cut to a quick scene of Jax and Brittany in therapy. And the therapist is like, Jax, you're basically telling Brittany to shut up. It's like, well, duh. He's been saying that literally verbatim for
years.
The moment they met.
Yeah.
Since the moment they met.
He's actually yelling at her to go make him sandwiches.
Right.
So that's an issue.
It's a really progressive relationship.
Feminism.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I guess we move on to Lala. I obviously don't think Randall's going to be on this season.
I mean, how could he not, though? Because he goes on every trip with them. They're always at his house, because that mansion that they're always in is absolutely his. It's no one else's. And
not hers.
It's definitely not hers. Her mom paid for it, maybe.
Oh, my God, Yellen.
God bless Lala. But I don't know. I feel like he would have to be, because that would just not make sense, especially with their engagement.
Yeah. She alludes to them breaking up at one point in the trailer, so I'm guessing it was probably like, they break up, and then he realizes he can't live without her and proposes.
It may be, like, something to do with her father passing, too.
Yeah.
Because maybe, like, she was going through a really rough time, and he couldn't handle it, and then they somehow found each other again.
Yeah.
And now are getting married.
So. I mean, people change, and obviously crazy ways when family members die, so you could probably be like, you were actually just supposed to be this hot girl on my arm, and you're not supposed to cry so much,
and now you're showing emotion,
right?
I don't know what to do with it. Right? I need to go.
And then she also is in, like, a quick little fight scene with Billy Lee, who was on last season as a friend of, and then Billy Lee, like, storms out of her room and says, you're not fucking better than me, Lala.
But is she an official castmate now, or is she just a friend still?
She's just a friend still, and she actually didn't even get in the cast picture this year.
Oh.
But I think they cut down, because I feel like the last few seasons, they've, like, had Rob, like, Sheena's fake boyfriend. Like,
the worst.
I can't think of who else was in the cast shot that was, like, just not supposed to be there.
Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah. Carter. Like, Kristen's Carter. It's like, dude, get out.
He's in, like, one scene of the entire show.
Yeah.
And didn't say anything.
No. Tom and Ariana. The first scene they have is Tom addressing Ariana hooking up with a woman.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Which is interesting that that's now going to be her arc.
And she says, like, something like, I don't know, like, that's my story to tell.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, where is this going? Like, was this, like, shared in a group setting and she's upset? Like, I'm very curious about that and how that plays out, because I don't know.
Last year she was on her whole, like, body image issue thing, and then, like, her never wanting to get married, and now she's into women. It's like, are you guys even together? Like,
what's happening?
It doesn't seem, it seems like their relationship is more for the show than, like, actually love, and, like, I don't see it from them anymore.
No, and I've heard that she, like, how she is, like, very, like, short and quick on the show. Like, in real life, too, from, like, people that have met her, it's like she is, like, cannot be bothered. And, like, I feel like she, I mean, she gives that off on the show, but, like, I don't know, maybe, like, she'd be nicer.
Yeah, like, you think, like, some, I don't know.
Something.
Yeah. Like, you're not that famous, Ariana. Get over yourself. Yeah, and that's kind of all they said. Obviously, the opening of Tom Tom is going to be, like, Sandoval's main thing.
Mm-hmm.
They show the picture of Tom Sandoval and Tom Schwartz kissing that is featured in the new restaurant, which...
Yep. In a large, large frame. It's not tiny.
That is, like, so Lisa Vanderpump to be like, this is what I got framed for your restaurant that you really don't own.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That's it.
Stassi and Beau. So Beau is obviously Stassi's new boyfriend. They have, like, his introduction onto the show, and then he says the phrase, it's like you dick punched my heart. So I think she's, like, met her match. Like, what does that even mean? And she, like, looks at him, like, with that face, like, what? Like,
but then she'll, like, figure it out in a minute.
She's like, yeah, I did.
Like, I definitely did dick punch your heart. Wild.
I heard on a podcast the other day, it was the Sexy Unique podcast, which is a great podcast, all about Vanderpump Rules, but...
The That's amazing.
It's really good.
I gotta listen.
Oh, it's really, really funny. Laura Marie is like the host, and she's like a genius with Pump Rules.
Yeah.
And other things too.
You know, she wrote like natural Einstein about Pump Rules.
She wrote like White Girl Problems.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Her guest on the show is this guy named Ryan Bailey, and he was saying, he's like, I moved to LA like 10 years ago, and I was in acting classes with Bo. So it's not surprising that Bo is just so charismatic and great on camera.
Really? Ooh, that's kind of interesting. And
he does casting for shows, too. So if anything, he's like a master at
being on a show.
Being in front of a camera.
Exactly, yeah. Like, this reality's not new to him.
No.
It's like, okay.
But I'm excited to kind of see their whole little thing.
Yeah, because we didn't see it at all. We found out, on the reunion last year that she officially had a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen him at all, which I'm excited.
They're, like, in, like, a beautiful, like, European trip right now.
Yeah. And they've been on a lot of those.
Yeah. And like, he, like, speaks Italian and, like, yeah, is, like,
cultured.
Very cultured. I don't know. She definitely, like, found a good one. And
I mean, after Patrick?
That was one of the most cringeworthy scenes, like, him and Lisa Vanderpump.
Ever.
Ever.
I can't, my skin crawls thinking about it. It's horrible.
I want to see him in the city so badly. Like, sometimes I have, like, I feel like I'm trying to, like, will it into existence. Yeah. And I'll be, like, on the train and I'm like, it's Patrick. But, like, it's not.
It's like Charlotte in Sex and the City when she wants to see Big.
Yeah, exactly.
She's, like, bringing
you
just, it upon herself.
You manifest seeing it. And I wouldn't even say anything to him. I just would, like, look at him. And he's probably really attractive, too. So
the worst. Oh, my God. Like, frat boy times, like, 1 million. Gosh. Yeah, just everything about him makes me die a little
bit. I'm excited to see this new Bo guy.
Yes.
And then to the people who kind of got the bad edits. Tom and Katie, basically just them fighting again. Ugh, I'm over them.
They had, like, their moment of being happy and married and whatever. And now, I mean, we all knew that it wasn't going to be, like, the rest of history. There's going to be, like, this really happy, chill couple. So, yeah, I'm not shocked. Yeah, but I'm kind of over them, too.
Yeah.
They're uninteresting.
Yeah. Whatever. Kristen Doty basically got two scenes. One of her fighting with Raquel, which I don't care about Raquel.
At all.
So I don't care if they're fighting. It's just a moot point at that point. And then Kristen's leaving a table at a bar, and she falls. And then Lala calls her trashy. So, like, that is what I like.
Yes.
Like, that's really good.
That's the Kristen I love.
Yeah. I like her drunk, on the floor, like, being called trash.
Yeah. Ridiculous, crazy, everything I need. I don't need her to be sane.
I need her to be off the meds and out of a stable relationship.
Yep, exactly.
For the show, not for her well-being.
Yeah. For our entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is a TV show.
Yes.
And then we move on to Sheena Marie. Who is basically getting also written off the show, I think. They show her just singing, good ass gold. Like, she's just singing.
Listen to that every day when I wake up.
I like, okay, you guys, I did start a Bravo Happy Hour Spotify playlist that has, like, every single Bravo Liberty song. So definitely check it out. Just type Bravo Happy Hour into Spotify. And yeah, Good as Gold is on there. All Luann's songs.
Obviously.
It's just like,
Chic C'est La Vie,
you
know?
I listen to Chic C'est La Vie, like, strutting to the subway to work. Like, it's so dark.
My,
like,
Monday morning commute.
Yeah, I'm like reminding myself, like, the end is like, Jill, like, the diamonds, Kelly, the jelly beans. Like, that's, like, my favorite part. It's
unreal.
It's so bad. But
so good.
Yeah, but so good. Sheena, yeah. Then there's the moment where, yeah, she's doing fake orgasm sounds with Lala, which is, like, low-hanging fruit. We don't need that.
Okay. Yeah. Like,
anyone
next.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, like, irrelevant to me. Like, last season, everyone hated her because, I mean, rightfully so, because all she did was talk about Rob. She just doesn't really have, like, a good storyline ever.
No. Well, she's dating that new guy, Adam, who she tried to hook Brittany up with.
Yes.
But he wasn't featured in the preview once, which lets us know. And he's not in the cast photo, which it's like, girl.
Maybe he's normal. Maybe he, like, does not want to partake.
He seems normal, like, based on, like, on his, like, rare appearances last season, it was, like, he's just, like, a normal guy, and then, like, the whole thing with, like, Brittany and Jax, and, like, him flirting with Brittany, he, like, goes up to Jax, and he's like, hey, man, like, I'm really sorry, I thought you guys were broken up. I'm like, dude, no, you're supposed to fuck Brittany for the next, like, 3 months, lie to Jax, and then sleep,
like,
with her best friend,
out.
Like, ruin her, like, break her heart.
No,
like,
he was, like, a normal
citizen. Stop being decent.
Stop being normal. Stop confronting people in a normal manner. I need you to scream. I need you to
throw drinks.
Yeah, something.
Something entertaining.
Absolutely.
And then James and Raquel. Yeah, James looks like he'll probably get fired from Sir or Pump or wherever he's DJing. Raquel.
Again.
Yeah.
For the third time.
Like, Lisa, don't.
It's please like, don't do it.
It's like, she's gonna. Yeah. Because you're an idiot.
Yeah. Raquel seems to, that's the only thing I noticed that was, like, different from the past few seasons. Like, Raquel has more of a role this season.
Yeah, she like, definitely, she like, speaks, learned how to speak English.
It's crazy.
In the past year.
Congratulations. Right? I'm so proud of you.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. It's really, yeah. I cannot wait. So season 7 will be out on Monday, December 3rd. And I might actually have the viewing party.
Oh my God, that's unreal.
We should all like dress up as characters.
I was just thinking that.
And we make pumpkinis?
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay,
I'm
guys.
I'm coming as Tom Sandoval as a female. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Okay, so moving on to actually more VPR news. Jill Zarin from The Real Housewives of New York has never been one to really hold back her opinions. She recently visited Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant Tom Tom in West Hollywood. Jill took to Instagram stories to post a scathing review of the restaurant. I have the picture posted on the Instagram page, so you can see like the layout of this ridiculous post. Mm. The first thing says, "Did not have a good meal." Why, question mark? So she's doing a Q&A for herself. Yes. First, Jill was seated for dinner at 8:30, but her reservation was at 8, so obviously it took very long to sit. Mm-hmm. You know, God forbid she gets a drink at the bar.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. That can't happen for Jill Zarin.
That's a hard no. Then she said, it took too long to sit, and she was served very cold, dense bread. Again, Jill. What are you doing?
How you spend your time.
What are like, you doing?
Reviewing bread baskets at restaurants.
A restaurant that's not known for quality food. Like, I feel like you go into Tom Tom knowing.
The food's not going to be good.
It's basically like a lean cuisine, yes, plated differently, like on a white plate.
Just so you could see Tom and Tom.
Yes, exactly. She said the menu was really weird and made it really hard to find something to eat, so she ended up settling on a $138 ribeye steak. Because yet again, you choose to spend an enormous amount of money on a steak that
is not going to be good.
It's not a steakhouse. Yeah. There's Mastro's, there's like all these great steakhouses in LA. You're really not.
No.
Then she said the dish came out and was raw and 40% fat, which...
That's what a ribeye is.
Yeah, like...
Ribeyes are fatty.
Oh
in case
my God.
She didn't know.
She truly didn't know.
Didn't, yeah.
Naturally, Zarin asked for the manager. So I wonder if Tom Sandoval or Schwartzy came out.
Yeah. She's like that meme, like, I need to speak to the manager.
Exactly. So the manager argued that that is how a ribeye is supposed to be prepared. Mm. As Amanda just let us know. But then he took the menu off the bill, nonetheless. So, okay, they're out $138.
Okay.
That's a lot. That's a really nice thing to take it off. That's probably the most expensive thing on the menu.
Absolutely.
100%.
That's probably why she chose it. She's like, okay, I am Jill Zarin. I need to order the $138 steak. That's it.
She's such an asshat. Followed with, you should have at least offered something like a drink or dessert.
Oh, because the $138 off your bill wasn't enough.
Correct.
Right? That's not offering something. Okay, just checking.
She said, bad, bad management. The chef should have come out of the kitchen. Now she wants a table-side chef conversation.
Like,
it's Tom Tom.
First of all, she probably went at a busy time. So there's like a lot of people in there. But hold on. The chef needs to stop making everyone else's meal in the restaurant. Stop the line. Stop all the waiters. We're going to walk to your table. We're going to just have a chat about why you didn't like the ribeye.
Right? 40% fat.
Yeah. That's an issue. Figure it out.
So a ribeye costing $138 is pretty ridiculous. But
yeah.
I will agree with her that the menu is outrageous. Mm-hmm. So based on Yelp, I was able to find a picture of the menu. That's broken into 6 different sections. Foreplay, hashtag party animals, amongst friends, underwater, from the farm, and from the garden. You know, underwater, from the farm, from the garden. Makes sense.
Normal. Like, that's cute and playful. And
yeah.
Fun. Yeah, okay.
Love. The foreplay section for appetizers, I didn't eat that.
No. And it doesn't go with anything else on the menu. Like,
no.
It would be, like, one thing if they were all, like, sexual references.
Yeah.
Menu and whatever. But, like, nothing else besides foreplay is sexual, which just doesn't make sense.
So, yeah, the party animal section contains sliders, tacos, and a spiced chicken.
It's a party now.
Yeah, like, now what is the difference between a foreplay and a party animal?
I don't know. Maybe it goes hand in hand.
Right?
What is an appetizer? What is an entree?
And then in amongst friends, aren't these all appetizers?
Yes. Maybe she's, like, their goal for amongst friends would be, like, these are sharing options. But again, it's usually what an appetizer is, so...
Yeah. All of it was not making any sense.
Nope.
And I agree with Zarin on the weird menu. Yeah. But her little freak out is just hysterical. And so Jill Zarin. When I saw that, I was like, why is this a headline?
Why isn't it a headline?
Yeah, like, why don't more people know about this?
Yes.
Well, moving on to Atlanta, the taglines for all of the ladies were finally revealed. And actually, this is going to come out on Monday, but this past Sunday was the first episode of the new season. So obviously Queen Bee Nene's is, I am the glue for my wig and my family.
I mean, I love Nene. I can't even, like, that is so ridiculous, but I wouldn't expect anything else.
Yeah, I know. I was not really surprised when I saw that. And I mean, she's so good with all the wig stuff with Kim Zolciak, just calling her
wig.
Bye wig. Like,
it's unreal.
It's so good.
And is she, like, so I know it was, like, in reference to like, her hair falling out last season, like, in that bun, remember,
during
the fight, and they were, like, pinning it as she was fighting? So, like, is it a reference to that, or is it, like, a shady, you know, something to Kim?
I think it's probably both. Nene's pretty calculated. I definitely
She knows what she's doing.
So she's kept her role on the show. Cynthia's is, I age like fine wine, and now I'm ready to chill. She always misses the mark.
Like, so hard.
What are you saying? Like,
I mean, like, but again, why I love Cynthia.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah.
She just is so off. Nothing about her is, like, she tries really hard to be, like, punny and, like,
50 Cent.
We'll just leave it there. Yes. That's it. That's all we need to do.
Candy Burris is, I count my blessings and my checks.
She really does, though.
She's got both.
Yeah. And she's all about the money. Like, every season is, like, a new business venture. Like, a new, like, some way. Like, whether it's, like, the sex toys or, like, old lady gang. Like, she is cashing the checks. I think she's, like, one of the best characters on Atlanta because she is real. Like, everyone believes what she says. It's not like she, like, has this, like, fake, like, thing about her. She is, like, so real to people that, like, no one really wants to cross her. And then when they do, they're, like, they're done.
They're done. Yeah. Exactly. Eva Marcel says, I live a model life, and I'm ready to be a top wife. Okay.
I hate that so much.
Yeah.
Like, is that your self-worth? Is, like, now I'm a model, and I'm a top wife. Like,
I finally met a man.
Awesome. Yeah. What about you? Like... As a human,
no,
I don't know.
My only beautiful and a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. She's going to have to definitely bring it this season. I was surprised that they gave her, like, an immediate peach, yet Marlo and Shamia start genuine drama. And, I mean,
they
I know Shamia, like, I think has a husband who's, like, not okay with him being on the show because of his job. Mm. So, like, I understand and respect that.
Okay.
But Marlo is, like... truly, like, the protagonist in, like, half the drama on all of these shows.
She's out of her mind.
Truly and out of her mind.
I mean, it's, like, a beautiful thing to watch when she starts, like, every fight for absolutely no reason.
None.
It's totally unsolicited, unprecedented, like, just doesn't make sense. But I'm okay with it. So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't find Eva that interesting.
Yeah, no. Didn't do it for me. Shamari, the new girl, hers is, I may be an open book, but that does not mean I am easily read. That's cute.
That's decent. It's good for a new girl.
Yeah, for a first season household. I think she's going to be really good. Ooh. I think she'll be good. Because also she's coming in as someone, like, it's really interesting when, like, quote-unquote actors and actresses come on the show. Because then there's, like, this automatic thing of, like, I'm famous. I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah. And Nene has always been, like, I'm an actor. It's like, well, you kind of were playing yourself in all of these roles.
Yeah, like, but, it's not.
Okay, so I'm really hoping Shamari and Nene go head-to-head.
But then I always wonder, like, when they do have actors, like, are they playing the role, like, a role on the show?
Yeah.
Like, is that really their true selves? Or, like, they just know really well how to, like, act and, like, pull it off?
Well, I think, like, Heather Dubrow was trying to act to be, like, hoity-toity and fancy. And it's like, no, I just kind of came off as, like, a bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, a pretentious bitch.
Yeah.
But I still love it. Like, I want to see more.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, you were acting like that, and great, you nailed the role.
Yeah, you got it.
And then Portia Williams, her tagline is, I took a left turn, but now things are just right. Which I kind of think is cute.
Yeah, it's Portia.
She's on the come up.
It's like really her.
Yeah.
Like everyone hated her for like a significant amount of time. And I actually felt bad for her after a point. I was like, just forgive her.
She's so
like,
dumb and nice and lovable.
Yeah, like, she's just like really naive. And she was following whatever Phaedra was saying.
Oh.
So like, just forgive her, let her live, like hang out with her. I don't know.
I wish Brooke and Frack would come back together.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
What a dream.
But speaking of Portia, she actually just had her gender reveal party, which actually looked like an amazing party. There were so many people there. I'm like, you guys know that many people?
Yeah.
For like a random backyard party?
And usually I feel like gender reveal parties like that I've seen are like kind of sad. Like they're like, it's always like six people watching you like pop a balloon. And then like, where do you go from there?
Right.
And like, this was an actual party. It was like, all right, we're going to like be lit, and then maybe we'll like figure out the gender reveal.
So at this party, they confirmed the news that it was a baby girl via these pink confetti cannons, and in natural Portia fashion, they gave her a blue one.
Yeah.
So everybody else's around her is pink, but hers is blue, and like she's screaming, and you can see the videos. Like I'll post it on the Bravo Happy Hour Instagram account. Like, she's, like, so confused, and
so
she's
confused.
Screaming, like, what is it? What is it? And, like, I can't believe they would give her a blue one.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened exactly, but her face, when she pops hers, and then sees everyone else's pink, she is so confused, I was crying.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So I read online that her fiancé, Dennis, has been joking that they want to name the baby Portia Jr. I know. I wish everyone could have just seen Amanda's face after that.
Sometimes I can't hold back my facial expressions.
I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
But she's been wearing a necklace that says PJ on it. So if she names her daughter Portia Jr.
So it's a real thing.
Like I think it's real. He bought jewelry
that says it. PJ.
PJ.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they could have maybe spent a little more time thinking of another name. A little creative.
Again, it's Portia. She's probably like, what's a great female name?
Portia.
Yep. Exactly. But speaking of babies in Atlanta, Kenya Moore has officially a mother. The Real Housewives alum gave birth to her daughter named Brooklyn Doris Daly at 9:39 Eastern Time on Sunday, November 4th, according to People Magazine. So the baby, I think, was a month premature. Mm. So the baby weighs 5 pounds. So that's little baby.
Yeah.
She was going through like last week she posted that she like gained 17 pounds in a week because she has like preeclampsia, which is like this blood pressure issue that pregnant women face.
Oh wow.
So I think like she was really nervous about like the baby itself.
I wonder if it like turned into like a high risk like delivery because of all this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So thank God the baby's here.
Healthy, happy.
I want to see it.
Yeah, same.
But I'm really happy for Kenya, and I do think she'll end up on the show again.
I'm shocked that she left. Like, I mean, I guess not after last season because she was, like, kind of, like, over everything.
Definitely.
But I could definitely see her, like, regretting it a little bit or, like, missing the fame of it all and coming back.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I hope she does. Speaking of other people who I don't wish to come back, Landon Clements from Southern Charm has recently come out in support of Thomas Ravenel. So a little background. Earlier this year, Thomas Ravenel was accused of sexually assaulting two different women. And just over a month ago, he was taken into custody of Charleston, South Carolina, on charges related to an alleged assault that happened back in January 2015. After numerous claims of sexual assault, Thomas was fired by Bravo. Thank God. Landon was a castmate on Southern Charm for 3 seasons. At some charity event, she was being interviewed, and someone asked her about, like, her relationship with Thomas Ravenel, and she said, "I know in my heart that Thomas is a good person, and whatever happened, happened. I wasn't there that night, but I can't imagine he would ever hurt anyone."
I mean...
Oh, my God.
Ugh. Like... cringeworthy. Everything about Landon is cringeworthy. Like, I've never been happier that she is no longer on my television screen. But to defend, like, Thomas during all of this, especially during, like, the Me Too movement, like, all the stuff, like, you just sound really ignorant, and it's unfortunate for you and everyone that had to listen to that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like this idea that so many people are like, well, he didn't hurt me, so of course he didn't hurt her. It's like, just because he didn't hurt you doesn't mean he doesn't have the capacity to hurt another person. And also, he, like, mentally abused Catherine for years, like, when she was, like, living in the basement of a plantation.
Yeah.
Not able to, like, do anything.
And also, it, like, totally takes away from that woman's story that she's telling. Like, you're basically calling her a liar. You're saying, like... I don't know what happened, but I do know Thomas is nice. Like, what does that have to do with anything? That is, you're just horrible.
She ended up saying, because it's an ongoing court procedure, I can't really comment and I don't want to comment. I will let the courts take care of it, I suppose. She's, like, so flippantly being like, whatever, that silly woman accusing him of things. It's like...
It's all good.
It's like, I don't know, people, yeah, definitely don't just, like... make up disgusting stories of being at work.
Detailed. Very detailed.
Like, I didn't realize details of the story have come out. You guys can read that on your own. I don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I was, like, getting into it today, and he's disgusting. And it's not surprising any person, like, any man can quickly, on a dime, change and become that type of person.
And, like, but I'm also not shocked it is him.
No.
Like, it's not like he's, like, this great character that you're like, oh, my God, this guy's amazing. I am so shocked hearing this. Like, I was not shocked at all.
He was a felon before this.
Yeah.
He knocked up a 21-year-old at 50
twice.
Twice. And then had his whole little relationship with Ashley play out on screen last season.
And, like, scream at, like, who did it? Chelsea.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Like, went off, like, treated... I mean, everything about him is, like, a disaster, so when I read it, unfortunately, I was not shocked at all.
It's really disgusting.
Yeah.
But on a happier note, Catherine Dennis, who is the woman who actually ended up having Thomas's children for some odd reason, has filed for modification of the custody and visitation after Ravenel obviously was arrested last month. So they share 2 kids. Daughter Kenzie, who's 4 years old, and son Saint, who is 3. Like, can you believe those kids are a year apart?
It's insane, but all I would like to say about this custody is karma, because he took all of the custody away from her when she was supposedly, what, an alcoholic?
And, I think she was, like, definitely doing cocaine.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Like, I mean, many failed drug tests. Like,
he was, exclusively.
I mean, he went to jail for it, so, like, I don't know, pot calling the kettle black, but whatever. But, like, this is such karma, because they finally got 50-50 custody, and she, like, got to actually see her kids again, which was amazing. We were all, like, rooting for her, like, the underdog. And now she's flipping the table. Teresa moment.
Right.
And she's like, listen, now I want more. Because guess what? You are being accused of sexual assault. So,
amazing. The kids were taken away from her a couple years back because, over these drug tests, she was failing all of them. And he was trying to prove her out to be a poor mother. Which, don't get me wrong. She was on a ton of drugs and had these kids and they were around it. And that's not okay.
Like, absolutely not.
No mother should be doing that. No father should be doing that. However... Thomas was definitely giving her the drugs.
Yeah.
Like, who was she doing the drugs with?
Just, like, by herself, and he was, like, taking care of the children right. in that guest house, right. like, because they weren't allowed in the real home.
No, he was raping the nanny yeah. while the kids are in the back house.
Exactly.
And Catherine's crying at home, snorting yeah. lines. It's, like, the saddest picture.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah. Ever. And, like, he gaslit her, and he made her feel crazy. And, of course, like, you know, she was 22 with two kids. That sounds terrible.
Terrible. And he turned everyone against her.
Yeah.
Like, the entire cast, like, absolutely hated her. She was, like, exiled from, like, this, like, southern community by yeah. Patricia. Like, oh. she was totally on this, like, island by herself, and she really just had a breakdown, but she turned her life around. And yeah. it was, like, so cool to see on this season that, like, she really, like, she had the come up. She was, like, totally. Coming back strong. And now, look what happens.
Look, she's getting her kids back. She has Patricia by her side. Oh, I love Patricia.
Same.
On to kind of sadder news. So Kim Richards from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recently opened up in the most recent episode of Marriage Boot Camp. She was revealing that she was once molested when she was just a kid. So she's on this Marriage Boot Camp show with her boyfriend, Wynn Katz, who I don't think they're in a real relationship.
I mean, it was probably just for the
paycheck.
What is it? The Marriage Boot Camp?
Yeah.
See, I'll be honest. I do not watch that.
No. I have standards.
Yeah. Like, standards are Bravo. Anything below that, like, if it's on, like, Oxygen,
no,
I can't watch
no,
it.
No, no,
like, it just, it's not for me.
Definitely not.
I don't know. Yeah, it was for the check.
Definitely for the check. So she opened up and said, when I was about 6 years old, I didn't have a lot of friends. So when the ice cream man would pull up in front of my house in the ice cream truck, he would let me get inside the truck and he would let me serve the kids ice cream. And one day I turned around and he had no pants on and he grabbed my hand and put it on him and you guys get the gist. So she opened up about that and she said, I think it blocked my love for a really long time, which obviously is
valid
and something that happens after being abused. But
yeah.
unfortunately, like, Kim was a child star, like, from the age of, like, 5 and on. Mm-hmm. Like, I think she's probably seen a lot of behavior like this.
Yeah, like, Hollywood's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's, like, been a very, very known thing. Like, every childhood star that goes through, like, a crazy time in their life, like, come out and say it's because as a child star, like, they were, like, yes. something happened.
Abused by my boss.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you were 8 on a TV show, like, so you had to show up to work every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty crazy to be in the limelight at that age anyway, but then you have adults who are taking advantage of you as yeah. a child. So...
oh, it was really sad. I don't know. And it's kind of nice because she's never openly talked about any abuse in the past. And obviously you can't just assume someone has been abused. Like, that's yeah. crazy. But, you know, her issues with alcoholism and her drug use, like, stuff like that usually comes from
somewhere.
Some hurting inside of you that you really can't talk about.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that she's, like, opening up and being honest about this because that's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy.
No, that's definitely... it's really... amazing of her that she opened up and talked about it because
yeah.
first of all, it, like, lets us in a little more onto, like, maybe, like, why she is the way she is and, like, some things that, like, we maybe didn't understand at all as viewers are, like, okay, like, we can piece this together a little better.
Yeah.
And also it's just, like, really brave to do that because I'm sure that's not an easy thing to come out to the nation about, like,
on Marriage Boot Camp.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry, Kim, but I think it's nice that she's opening up, and hopefully this will just help her heal a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite moment of the week was finding out who the new cast of Below Deck Med is. So coming back from last season, Captain Sandy, Hannah, who's the chief stew, Juwow is coming back as bosun,
amazing.
And Colin is lead deckhand. Sadly, Jamie's not coming back. I kind of wanted her to come back.
Yeah, I loved her. I think she was, like, so funny and cool.
She's dating Chandler from Regular Below Deck.
What?
I know.
Wait, I didn't know that. That's a crazy yeah. crossover.
You guys,
I love
check
a good crossover.
Me too. Check my Instagram. I'll post, like, cute pics of them. But yeah, they're dating. But I'm psyched to see Juwow back on screen. Like, he, like... I was so attracted to him. Like, he's crazy. Like, and, like, a bad guy.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the Jack syndrome.
Yes.
It's, like, you're so good-looking, you're so crazy and bad, but I think I'm in love with you.
Yeah, like, it's amazing.
Yeah, like...
everything I want to watch, I'm, like, I was addicted to Juwow. Like, I thought he was, like, the best thing ever.
He is.
The worst, but not the best.
Exactly. Yeah. Captain Sandy's great. I like her.
I think she's hysterical.
She's like just Captain Sandy.
Yeah, like there's nothing else you could say.
And like,
who do you like better though, Captain Sandy or what's regular Below Deck?
Oh, Captain Lee. I don't know. I think there's something about Captain Lee. Like, he hates everyone and so like much. He's so angry.
Yeah.
All the time, that I love that character.
Yeah.
But Captain Sandy's nice because she has, like, the female touch where it's, like, mm-hmm. she could be a huge asshole, but then she could also be, like, patting Hannah on the back and being, like, love is amazing.
Yeah. She's, like, nurturing yeah. while being, like, do your fucking work.
Right? Like, you're not struggling that badly. Get yeah. back out there.
Thanks.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So what was your favorite moment of the week?
My favorite moment of the week was for sure when Andy Cohen had Deborah Winger on as his guest on Watch What Happens Live, because it was such a beautiful train wreck. It was like, I didn't know whether to watch, to shut it off. It was so uncomfortable. My skin was crawling. She was horrible to him. Like, sometimes he can be condescending, don't get me wrong. Like, he definitely has his, like, attitude-y moments where, like, I don't know, he throws a little shade to people, but he was just genuinely trying to do his show, and she was, like, not allowing him to do it well.
Like, during, like, the Plead the Fifth segment, it was so, like, gut-wrenching to watch her, like, belittle him as if he didn't, like, create the show in this world. Like, you came on his show. You knew exactly.
On his channel.
Yeah!
Like, he is Bravo.
And she was gaslighting him and making him feel, well, you know, how would you remember everybody you kissed 35 years
yeah.
ago? Well, I don't know. You remember good kissers and you remember bad kissers.
Yeah. And like, it's just like a fun game. Like, it's not that deep. Like, just answer the question. Like, and she also said to him when he, like, got something wrong about her book, and she was like, come on, at least get something right.
Yeah.
He, like, literally made, like, a sad puppy face. Like, I mean, I created a talk show that has been on for 6 years every single night.
Right?
I think I did get something right.
Yeah, first gay late night host of a show. I don't know. Crazy idea.
Very successful.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. And Amanda Peet was also the guest on that show, too. And she wasn't giving him
anything
either. But I give Amanda Peet more of a reason to be a dick than mm-hmm. Deborah, because he only asked Amanda Peet questions about her husband's show.
Yeah.
And it's like, she was coming on to promote her show.
Exactly.
So, like, you really need to remind her that her husband is, like, the biggest showrunner of the biggest show in the world, Game of Thrones, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, still, cut Andy a break. And then, like, the two of them were, like, chit-chatting with each other in the middle of segments.
Yeah. Like, Mean Girls moment.
Yeah.
Like, it was very weird. Like, they were, like, talking shit about him in front of him on live television. Like, it was wild to watch. I watched it again. I watched it twice.
Riveting.
Yeah.
This is so crazy.
And I'm in, like, a random, like, one of those closed group on Facebooks where we, like, talk about all this stuff. And a lot of people in the comments were writing, like, they didn't think it was that bad. And I was like, did we watch the same show? Did we watch? I'm just confused because it was that bad.
It was one of the worst things I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
I tweeted about it. He wrote something like, wow, what a rough night. Need a drink. I mean, but for him to say that, it's pretty bad.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Ugh, gotta love him. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Will you come back on again?
Yes, I will absolutely come back.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, be sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Be sure to tune in next Monday for more of your favorite Bravo-related news.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.